Take my life and let it be. That's a good prayer request. Amen. Great job, you guys. I was able to jump in there the last few prayer meetings. I wasn't able to be here, and you guys had practiced, and so, but I knew that hymn, so that was good for me to jump in there. But you guys are such a blessing. All right, now here we are, Psalm 77. Some of you looked at me funny during the handshaking time, like, are you okay, Pastor? Yes, I'm just throwing out. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, I knew that that was probably, I didn't think about it, but, you know, when I had Miss Kathy Jo, right, you know, I had her originally planned right before me, and then that just threw me off. Well, whatever. Yeah, none of you are buying that, I know. It's like, I'm losing it. That's just it, all right? I'm just losing it. All right, Psalm 77. If you were here on Wednesday night, and Brother Harris, he sure did a great job last week. Amen? Some great messages last Sunday. And then I had him preach on Wednesday night, and he brought forth a message out of the book of Jude. Jude just has the one chapter. He was in verse 5, and he that verse says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. How many of you were here on Wednesday? All right. That verse says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. And that goes right along with what Peter said to those that were the recipients of his letter. He says, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up by way of remembrance. But Brother Harris did a great job. He really kind of got into the particular relationship between a church and their missionaries, and how over time, sadly, he gave us some illustrations of how some of those churches had forgotten their missionaries. Sad story, amen? And that certainly was a sad experience for him to personally have to experience, but it certainly touched our hearts. And I'm going to take that same theme, not along the same lines, but about remembrance. We had a passage that we read out of Psalm. Did I just cut off or we're good? Okay, sounds like I'm back on. Remembering. So I want to bring out some good things to remember. So we're going to start off here in Psalm 77, and we'll read verses 1 through 12, and I'll read them pretty quickly, and then I'm going to go into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is where we're going to go through some chapters with some specifics about some good things to remember. So Psalm 77, this is Asaph. Asaph wrote this psalm, and he says, right in the same vein as David with many of his psalms, he says this, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. By the way, there's a great outline in this chapter alone, which I will preach at another time, but I'm going to go ahead and defer and go into the book of Deuteronomy. But here we go. Verse 4, he says this, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been there? Sure, there's times when we get so overwhelmed. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance. There's that word again. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. Then he says again, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And then verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So this writer, again, is Asaph, and you see that, you know, he's in great distress. So many times, that's where David was in the writing of so many of the psalms that have his name on it. There are many, many psalms that are anonymous, and probably David wrote many of those. But yet, Asaph knows what to do. Asaph knows where to go. When everything was breaking up around him, he remembered to remember. He remembered to remember. And now, if you or I are ever going to make any headway, any progress in our Christian life, we're going to have to learn to be good rememberers. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. That's a whole different ball game right there. There are certain things that we want to drudge up from the past that we shouldn't be remembering. So those are the things that we want to forget. And there are certainly things that we need to remember. We need to remember some things. And so that's what we're going to talk about here today, remembering some good things to remember. So with that, let's go ahead and let's start off with a word of prayer. And then we're going to be transitioning over to the book of Deuteronomy. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together. What a blessing it is, Lord, the Lord's Day, Sunday, that we can all gather together. We're so thankful. We thank you for every day of the week. They're all special, but this is such a blessing to be able to gather together with your people. Thank you for a great day so far today. We've had a great time of fellowshipping. We've had a great time of having prayer before the church services even started. We thank you for the Sunday school class. Thank you for Miss Demkak being here as she's going to be heading to Columbia, and we can support her. Thank you for our visitors that are here. Tracy is here. Thank you for all the saints that are here. And we just thank you that we've had an opportunity to praise you in song. We thank you for the special that we heard with the men here. And we thank you, Lord, that we can open up your word and we can just allow you to speak to our hearts. And so, Lord, what always worries me is I don't want to be to constrict or to hinder you. I pray, Father, that you would set me to the side, put me behind the cross. I truly just want you to be able to work through me as a vessel. I pray, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. You know all of the needs that are here. And certainly, Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, we want to see them get saved. We want to see them trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we thank you. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're looking at, again, there are certainly things to forget, but then there are things to remember. And so we want to take a look at that. So I'm going to have you just kind of go over to the book of Deuteronomy. The first passage I'll go to is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. All right, let me get there myself. Deuteronomy in chapter 5. Now, Moses is standing before Israel, and this is the last time he's going to be with them. The whole book of Deuteronomy is... that's what Deuteronomy really means, the name Deuteronomy. It's a repetition of the law, okay? So what he is going to do is give them a reminder of the law that had been given to them, because he's no longer going to be with them. He's not going to take them over into the promised land. That'll be Joshua. So he stands before Israel and sternly reminds them of some very significant things to remember, which certainly makes application for us, because there are things that we need to remember. Again, they're ready to head into Canaan, and Moses knows he's not going to be able to be with them. So he knows that they're going to be blessed of God. God is going to have his hand upon them, that they're going to receive many great victories. And that's certainly what takes place when you go through the book of Joshua. Joshua is such a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much there that we can talk about. But Joshua, that's who he's a picture of. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes us into the promised land. He takes the Jews into a land of victory. For us, that application is very clear. When we allow the Lord to just lead and guide us and direct us, which is where I'll go tonight, in Galatians chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, we just turn things over to the Lord. We'll be able to see some victories. Maybe that's where you're stuck in a rut right now. And maybe the issue is you're just trying to do it on your own. And I've been there many times. And we just need to stop and look unto the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, help me. I need some clarification here. I need I need some things to be revealed to me. I think that I am gumming up the works, instead of turning it over unto you. And whenever we turn it over unto the Lord, we just watch him do what he does best. And we're just simply a vessel. And that's just the best place to be. So they're going to receive many victories. They will be given a wonderful inheritance at the hand of God. Again, we're talking about the Jews going into the promised land. And he's so quick. He's very, very quick and very determined to point out to them to remember what God has done for them. The only book that exceeds Deuteronomy in the usage of the word remember, remembrance, remember, remembering, would be the book of Psalms. And we just read out of there. But behind that, you find the word remember second most in the book of Deuteronomy. So here we stand. Here we are, all right, as believers here in 2024. And we are here in the present. They were standing between the wilderness and Canaan, and this is so typical of where we stand each and every day of our lives. And so let us take a look at some good things to remember, some things that he pointed out to them would certainly makes application to us. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, I'm just going to read one verse, because if you read this chapter, when you get to verse 6, he recounts for them the Ten Commandments. So that they originally see that in Exodus chapter 20. That's the original reading of the Ten Commandments when he comes down off the mount and he's got the stone tablets, right? He's got the commandments with him. Well, here it is now, many, many years later, and they're ready to go into the promised land, and he is recounting the law for them. And so he's talking about the Ten Commandments here in the book of, or in the chapter 5 here of Deuteronomy. Now, he reads here, or he speaks to them here, and I'm going to read, I was just going to read verse 15, but let me go back a couple of verses, and I'll go ahead and let's see, verse 12, all right? Now, this would be the fourth commandment where he says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Now, there was a certain Sabbath day that the Jews were to acknowledge, right? Keep the Sabbath day. Now, for us, our special day is the first day of the week, right, on a Sunday. This would be our Sabbath, all right? So he says, though, he says to them, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. He says, even all of your servants, they are to rest on the Sabbath. And then he brings out this point in verse 15, which will be my first point. And he says this to them, and remember that thou, because he's just talked about their servants and letting them have rest. And he says this in verse 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now, for us, when we think about, spiritually speaking, Egypt, that's referring to our lives when we were lost, when we were servants to Satan, when we were servants to sin. And the Lord delivered us from that, and he delivered us out of Egypt. So the first thing that I want to bring out that we need to remember is remember when you and I were lost. Now, I'm not talking about going back and thinking about all the sinful activities and dwelling on some of those things. No, those are the things that we forget. But it's good to go back and to think about where we were. It's good to think about we were once lost. Listen, I talked to some people and knocked on their doors. Do you know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven? Yes, I'm a Christian. When did you become a Christian? When I was born. And I went, right. I thought, they have a straight face. I think they mean that. Yeah. I mean, there's some people that think that they were saved when they got born because I was born in America. Yeah. Listen, I love America, but that doesn't mean when you're born here, you're born again. All right? And so that's just a weird thing. So every one of us has a testimony, amen, that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. We were all lost. And I don't know about you, but when I need to get a good dose of being thankful to God, I get it when I think of my lost condition. I think about when I was lost, and it just takes me back to that day, and I recount that or replay that in my mind, and it just always just humbles me, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I didn't find you. You found me. God found us. We love him because he first loved us. Amen? And he sought and searched you out. We were as sheep going astray. He's a wonderful, gracious shepherd who looked for his sheep. You know, you worked with sheep. So how much can you, make application to all of that? But the Lord sought you and I out, even when we were so foolish and so stupid. And some of the things that we did, I had no clue about this life, about eternal life, and about the things in life. I was really nothing but a blind man wandering about. And I didn't realize I was on my way to hell. But God, in his graciousness, reveals some things to me. It says in the book of Titus, in chapter 3 and verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. How foolish was I? Can you say the same thing about yourself? Certainly, we didn't have any interest in the things of God. I didn't have any interest in being in church or about hearing the things of God. I believed in God, but that's not everywhere I wanted to go in any kind of a conversation. And I think about what I did with the name of God. I think about how I was raised not to have a trash mouth. I mean, my parents taught us to be civil and to be respectful and not to use bad words. But I remember, as a teenager, you know, and I played a lot of sports. And I remember specifically when I first started to play tennis, and I played tennis, and some of the guys I played with, just when they'd mess up some shots, they would just fling their racket against the fence. And I thought, yeah, that was kind of like out of order, you know, or out of place. But then after a while, I thought that was pretty cool, you know, and so I thought, man, I'm going to start throwing my racket. I didn't throw it all the time. And then there were guys would throw them and say, you know, blah, 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 you know, fill in the blanks. I won't tell you what they said. And I just thought, oh, it kind of hit me at first. And then I thought, that's kind of cool. And I just remember saying some things that I was never raised to say. And I remember using God's name in vain. Man, I'm so glad God was patient with me. Aren't you glad he was patient with you? Maybe when you just took his name in vain, maybe when you just mocked Christians or mocked people going to church or the things of the Bible, God was merciful and God was long-suffering. And I'm so grateful that he was gracious with me and so kind. Some of the things that I did, some of the foolish risks that I took, not that I was a daredevil to the max. I've seen some people like, wow, I can't believe that they do that. But I think some of the things that I did, that I could have, my life could have ended, and I could have ended up in hell. But God didn't let me go there. God didn't let that happen to me. Praise the Lord. God was good. I was disobedient, but God was so gracious with me. And he was gracious with you as well. He was gracious with every one of you. Remember when you and I were lost. Remember some of the foolish things that we did and how God looked. God, you know, what does it say in the book of Acts? That he saw some things and he winked at them. I don't always fully grasp all of that, but I think God saw some things in us. And I know he's the Alpha and the Omega. And he knows the beginning from the end, but he put up with an awful lot. So let us remember how we were lost. And then Moses speaks to Israel again in regard to remembering. And we'll just go over to chapter 7 now. Chapter 7. And we'll take a look here at verse 18. And we think about the day we got saved. Remember the day you got saved. And I certainly alluded to that with my first point. But it is my second point. In verse 18, it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Remember, Moses said to the Jews, to that whole slew of Israelites that are going to be going into the promised land. Remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh the king of Egypt. Remember what he did. Remember how he delivered you. And it's good for us to remember what the Lord did to, well, Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. He's a picture of the king of darkness. And look what the Lord did to Satan when Satan had a hold of you and I. The Bible talks about we were caught up in the grasp of Satan. Listen, you understand that you were lost in sin, and so was I. We were blind. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says. Dead in our trespasses and sins. You were under the power of darkness. Children of darkness, the Bible says that we were. The Bible says that we were a child of wrath. Condemned. We were condemned. You were held captive again by the devil himself. The Bible says that you and I were without hope. We had no hope in this life. And the devil, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Somehow, Satan, he's got this these blinders that he put on you and I. And I'm sure whenever there was some opportunity of God's a ray of light coming on a lost person, if Satan could, he would blind the eyes of that lost person so they wouldn't see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. I think about us as parents. Sometimes we do that with, you know, we try to blind the eyes of our kids when we're walking through Toys R Us. Now, I know that that's... There's no more Toys R Us's, but I have to go. I'm a little bit dated here, all right? You go back to, and we're walking up the aisle, my wife and I, and it's like, ooh, you know, our son sees that. He's going to want it. So, you know, we just kind of divert him over to another. Let's go over here to aisle number 4, son. And, you know, because those Legos, man, they cost a whole lot, and we just can't afford them right now. So we kind of like blind their eyes to something that would have been really great for them to have. Well, the devil does the same thing. The devil does that same thing to each and every one who is a potential candidate to be saved. But I love what the Lord does. The Lord one day just tripped up the devil. Not like the devil was winning these battles. God does things in his timing, and the devil's trying to keep people lost. But one day, the Lord just took those blinders off, didn't he? And he reveals some things to us. I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, what it says, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I won't go into my testimony. I've told it here enough times, but that was that particular day on January the 8th of 1977 when it hit me. I didn't understand how to get saved. But all of a sudden, a light shined in my heart, and thoughts came into my head that hadn't ever been in my head. I need God. I need God. I need to look unto God for help. I didn't even know what I needed. But God, in his graciousness, knew what I needed, and he revealed some light to me. And then he gave me direction and pointed me to someone who showed me the gospel to Christ. And the Lord did that for you. And sometimes that may have taken... days or weeks or months. It could have even been years. But the Lord revealed some light unto you, didn't he? And God was good. Remember that day. Remember that day when you and I got saved. What a great scene it must be in heaven when folks get saved. And there's joy in the presence of the angels, right? What is that saying? There's joy in the presence. Well, I'm sure the angels are excited, but there's someone in the center of those angels who gets excited. Think about that. When you see somebody get saved, when we think about, you know, our dear sister here who's going to Columbia and help the Putneys and the opportunities that she's already had for the several times that she's already been there, to see some of these kids get saved. That story of that boy who came back again with his friend and came on Sunday and then they got saved. God did something there in the heart, didn't he? It's not like those boys just kind of crafted that in their own mind. Oh, yeah, we'll come back and we'll get saved on Sunday. But I'm going to... No. God opened up the heart and God revealed some things and they came to know Christ. What a great, great thing that God did that for you and I. What a wonderful thing. And what a great picture that is in heaven. Let me just show you this real quick here in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, I'm just going to read a couple verses rather than read through the whole account here. This is when Peter is imprisoned and the church is praying for him. And Brother Harris brought it up on Wednesday. Well, maybe if the church would have really been praying, maybe James at the beginning of the chapter, maybe he would have been saved too. Who knows? He was killed with a sword. And then Peter gets imprisoned. And Herod is going to kill Peter in just a short little bit of time. That's what his plan was. So Peter is imprisoned. And let me just read two verses there. In verse 7 it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him while Peter's in prison, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands." Just like that. And then verse 11, just to make this short, it says, "And when Peter was come to himself, it finally dawned on him," this thing really did happen. Those chains just fell off. "And he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Now we know Peter was saved. Peter was already saved, but that's a great picture of salvation right there. A great picture to be bound and the Lord comes and takes those fetters off. A light shines and then he delivers us and we got saved. You and I got saved. Don't ever forget what God did when he saved you and I. I love to think again how God rescued me, and I love to just think about that on a regular basis. Now, in the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 3, and I'll just read this verse, he says, "That thou mayest remember," again, remember, "the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life." He says, remember what God did for you when you came out of the land of Egypt, and remember it all the days of thy life. Amen. Don't forget it. Don't let it grow old. Don't let it become stale. Boy, let it be on the forefront of your mind, and you know, not to become mechanical, but it ought to be right in our prayers all the time. Lord, I don't want to just say it like I'm just a tape recording here, but I want to go back to my salvation and just thank you again. Thank you for what you did. Because I wouldn't be on my knees praying to you and thanking you. You did something for me that is so great. And I'll praise you for all eternity, but I want to praise you now. Well, let's never forget to do that. Because you and I just begin to rattle off all of our prayer requests. And it ends up being about what I need and what I'm going through. We ought to just pull the plug on that. Because I think if you and I just focus on just praising him, just saying, thank you, Lord, you're just a great God. You know, even if I don't have time to bring up all my requests, you already know them. The Lord will take care of those, believe me, if we just focus on praising him for what he's done for us. So may you and I do that. Don't let it be said of what of you and myself, of what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. When Peter says this to those recipients of the second letter that he wrote, he says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You know, I mean, that sounds like a class of people who did trust the Lord. They were purged, forgiven of their sins, but somehow they got in a place where they forgot all that. And they forgot how they had been forgiven of their sins. Let's never get there. We don't ever want to get there. It ought to be just, Lord, thank you, Lord, every day. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Now, thirdly, Moses spoke to these Israelites to remember his testing and his guidance. His testing and his guidance. So now we'll just look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll take a look at these first six verses. Excuse me, I've just had all these allergies, and it's just like my throat just keeps caking up with this gunk. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6 says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Christian, let me say this. Remember today what God has allowed you and I to go through. It's good for us to remember the challenges that you and I have faced, how he has never failed you. He has never failed me in anything that I've ever gone through. He has always provided for you and I. Can anyone say here he's never provided for you and I? No, the Lord provides for us even when we're stink pots. Can I say that in church? Yeah, when we're just rascals and scoundrels and we're bucking him and we're being indignant and we're digging in our heels, God's still merciful and kind. Yes, and he'll chastise us. You know why? Because he's a loving father who cares about you and I. You know, if you're a parent and that little kid doesn't belong to you, it's like, well, I'm not going to really worry about that. I'll let their parents worry about that kid, you know. But your own kids, they're not going to get away with that because I don't want them to grow up and become that. So we're going to deal with this issue. And my kids didn't always appreciate that at the time, but they did appreciate it later. And God chastens us for our good. He chastens us so that we won't become, all messed up. God is trying to work in our lives. Has he not done that for you? Certainly, he's done that for every one of us. I have 47 years of good memories. 47 years of good memories. Yeah, certainly I've been through some times, going through difficult times, rough lessons to learn, many times failing, many of those, yet the Lord was doing it all for our own good. The Lord was doing it for our own good so that Christ could be glorified. You just stop and think and remember what God did for you during some rough times. When God took you through some emergency room visits. I've had a few of those, and I think about some of the things that God revealed to me, some hospital stays, some loved ones that have passed, some reversals, financial reversals, or some relationships that went awry. You know, the things that break our hearts, but God shows us things through them. As we look unto him, God reveals to us and teaches us lessons. He is so kind. God has no tainted motive in all of this to put his people through some trials here or the trials that you and I face. Listen, he allows us to go through some difficult times. I think about how many times that maybe we were close to, you know, a tragedy or something that maybe would have just changed or altered the course of our life completely, yet God was there and watched out over it, and he monitored it, and he took care of it. You know, I think of our former president yesterday who was like this speaking to the crowd, and they said that right as he turned this way, that's when the bullet got fired. And that bullet would have gone into his temple, and it would have taken him out. But he turned at the right time, and that just barely grazed his ear. You can't tell me that wasn't God doing something here. Now listen, I don't know, because I can't, the Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are his. And I've heard that he's made a profession. I don't know, I can't get into it. Sometimes I wonder his behavior, like, did he really get saved? I hope he got saved. If he's not saved, though, we pray that he'll get saved. I know he wanted to give glory to God through all of this. So let's just pray for him. I respect him. That guy's a fighter. I respect anybody that's a fighter. And so I'm not trying to go down that road, but look at just what happened. Look what how God, just by the skin of our teeth, some things could have happened. but God knows all.
Amen.
And nothing gets by God.
Right.
And so you and I just need to, we're not going to know all the details. Lord, I don't know to the detail how that all played out, but I know it was close. I know there was somewhat of a brush with death maybe, but you were watching it, watching out over it, and you watched out over me. And you allowed me to go through some things, and may we just learn how to praise him and thank him for what he has done in our lives. And then Moses brings up this last one as I want to finish up, and that is to remember the blessings that God has given to you and I. Boy, abounding with blessings.
Right.
We're just abounding with blessings, folks. I say it over and over, but we live like kings here in this country.
Right. Yep.
And again, you know, you're going to be going to a mission field where it's not at the level of America. But I praise the Lord for somebody who just says, I want to go because God's calling me to go.
Right.
And you'll live in some substandard compared to how we live here. And folks, we just got it good. And we just need to be thankful. Sometimes our problem is we can get so much good thrown at us that we just take it for granted. Well, we never want to do that. We never want to do that. We want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm just taking these blessings for granted. You've blessed me over and over. Your word says that daily you loadeth us with benefits. Lord, help me to just be mindful of him and thank you over and over for what you've done in my life. The blessings. So let's just read this last part of this passage here in Rome, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We finished up in verse 6. So let's just read verses 7 through 18, and I'll just make some few comments here. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depth, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. This was a beautiful land. Israel is a beautiful land, and he says, this land of Canaan is gorgeous. And he says it's a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. He said, be careful, because this can happen. Your heart gets lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let me say this, that whatever you have, it is because God gave it to you.
Yeah.
Whatever I have is because God gave it to us. The Lord Jesus said this, without me, ye can do what? Ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Paul spoke to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 when he says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If you think you're something and you think that you're a self-made man, then you're being foolish. And so am I. Because we ought to stop at that point and just say, Lord, no, I could have been one blood clot from a stroke that could have debilitated me the rest of my life. And you know what? That could happen tomorrow to any one of us.
Yeah.
You know, again, how close that bullet was, 1 inch from taking our former president's life, and listen, there are a number of things that can happen to you and I that can just take us out. But God has been good to every one of us. He has poured out his blessings. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Listen, every one of us, we're not above a Nebuchadnezzar. That guy was a pompous man. He was a pompous king who said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Well, you know what happened right after that? He got turned into a beast for 7 years. And he got thoroughly and sufficiently humbled. And we don't need to have God humble us. It's much better to come to God humble than to have him humble you and I. I'll just say that because that is so true. We are, again, we're just one blow to the head of becoming a vegetable, folks. We might have a catastrophe in our life that just reduces us to somebody who doesn't even want to go out and see people anymore. Praise God for, I've seen that. I've seen some things happen with people that were robust and some virile men, and it's like, what happened to him? I don't know. Something happened to him, and now he's just like been reduced to somebody that just kind of in a fetal position who doesn't even want to get out where people are. Listen, that can happen to you and I. I know we don't think that, but we just ought to be grateful for what the Lord has given to you and I. The Bible says that in all things we are enriched by Christ. Let us remember that in all things that we possess, it came from him. And that's what Moses is trying to instill in the Jews is remember all the blessings. You remember those trials because God was just whipping you into shape and God was making you to become something that he wanted you to become. But remember all those great blessings that you received. Don't forget them. Don't forget whose hand they came from. They came from the Lord. There are certainly other things that Moses spoke about. He told them to remember when they provoked God. Don't remember that. Remember when you provoked him. And don't do it again. To remember what their enemies had done to them. And there were many things that he talked to them about. But I think what we heard today is pretty sufficient amount for us to remember. Amen? Listen, many of God's people, I believe, fall out of the race over this very thing. And that is failing to remember what God has done in your life and in my life. Failing to remember finds its roots in the sins of being unthankful. Because we're told to, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, it's not easy to be thankful for something that's negative, something that's painful, but we know that God's watching out over us and he has his hand on everything. And if you and I, by faith, can say, Lord, this is a struggle, but I thank you for this. I thank you for this great loss, because I know you'll teach me some great things. You suffered great losses. Why shouldn't I suffer some great loss for you? And may we just praise him and thank him. Again, taking the time to remember what God has done for you is a sure sign of gratitude to God. And that pleases him. Are you remembering to remember? Are you remembering to remember? And let me just say this as I wrap this up. Now, maybe you're here today and you would say, well, this doesn't sound like a message to me because I don't know the Lord. Well, it wasn't. It was a message for every one of us who do know Christ. But I want to say this. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, then I hope that you'll understand that there's a great Savior who died on a cross for your sins. The Bible says that God sent his Son. God the Son comes to this earth and lives a sinless life and goes to a cross on your behalf. And he's buried and rises again, and he's alive today. And he wants to give you everlasting life. It's not something you can earn. It's not something that you can buy. You certainly can't. It's a gift that you must receive. You have to just come to the Lord, understanding you're a sinner, understanding that there's a need to repent of your sins. And to receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now for the rest of us that know the Lord, which I believe is most of us here, certainly a large majority of us know the Lord, we're compelled and exhorted and admonished to remember, aren't we? Let's remember what God's done in our life. Let's remember, you know, Who knows what our country's going to be like in another few years? This could, like, this doesn't even remotely look like America anymore. And it's starting to go that way. We know that. But it would be good right now to just say, Lord, we thank you for what we've had. And you know what, by the way, we don't deserve what we have. We just don't. But God's merciful, and he's allowing us to have what we have. May we just thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to use our time wisely, to redeem the time because the days are evil, to go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ with the time that we have left. And then just see what he decides to do. Amen? So with that, let's bow our heads. Let's go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment. With your heads bowed, we'll just go ahead and Vicki will begin to play, and Brother Ray's going to lead us in a hymn here in just a moment. Maybe God's spoken to your heart as a child of God about remembering. Lord, help me to remember, just as Moses spoke to the children of Israel about remember when you go into that land, remember what God's done for you. Because if you fail to do that, it's just going to be a matter of time and you're going to start taking the credit for what's been given to you. But if you'll stay on task and just humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. You did this. You did that for me yesterday. You did a number of things for me yesterday. This last week, there was several things that I can now think of. And I want to thank you. And I want to remember those things. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today about remembering. This is a good time to just talk to the Lord, respond to him, and just tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given to me. Now, if you're here without Christ, you've never been saved, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ today. You can step out in the aisle and come to the front. We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can be saved. With that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn of invitation. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us. You've blessed us over and over. Lord, help us to remember those things. Sometimes we're prone to remember the wrong things. Lord, there's things that we're to forget, and there's things for us to remember. Help us to remember the right things. You've blessed us in so many ways. Help us, Lord, to use that as a pattern, as a template, as we go forward from day to day to thank you, to remember all that you've done for us. We'll praise you for eternity one day, Lord. And we pray for anybody here without Christ, Lord, that you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Savior. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.